Open them with me to Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah 26. If you don't have... This morning, we're talking about hard changes. The kind of changes that you know you should make, and the kind of changes that you don't want to make because those changes are difficult. And so as we're walking through this, I'd like you to be listening to the Lord to see if there's any changes that God would be calling you to make. So I'm talking about the kind of changes where, you know, you've been going in one direction for a long time, and God is calling you to change directions and live a different way. I'm saying those changes are difficult. When you've been moving in one direction for a long time and God calls you to go a different direction, it's difficult. And I'd be asking you, each of you, what changes would God be calling you to make? As I talk to you about the changes Jeremiah was talking to the people to make, or the changes that Jeremiah was making, you'd be thinking about you. Will you listen to what God is saying, and will you obey? All right? So as I tell you Jeremiah's story, you be thinking about your story. Will you listen? Will you obey? Will you make these changes that God would have you make? So, Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 1 begins, "In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah." All right, so what you know is when the king dies, when Josiah dies, then his son takes over for him, Jehoiakim. But this is more complicated than that. This is way more stressful than that. This is an incredibly stressful time in the life of Israel. And it's during this incredibly stressful time that God doesn't just leave them alone, but God comes to them and calls them to make incredibly hard changes. And it may be like for you, you may be saying, well, I'll make changes when things are easier. I'll make changes when things calm down. I'll make changes when life isn't so difficult. And that might be the opposite of what God wants for you. It might be that during this tumultuous time, God is calling you to make changes. So I'd like you to be thinking about your life and the place where you are in your life as I talk about their lives. So this is a tumultuous time in their lives. So Josiah is king right here, and Egypt is a superpower. Assyria, you see Assyrian Empire right here. They're up in the north. They're a superpower. Babylon would be like over here if we had the extended map on the other side of the Arabian Desert. They're a superpower. Babylon is sweeping across the east and just crushing everything in their path. Egypt gets nervous about this, and so they're coming up to help the Assyrians in hopes that if they help the Assyrians will give them all of this, including Judah, as like a present for helping them beat the Babylonians. Remember, the Babylonians are over here. So King Josiah doesn't want this to happen. So he tries to check their advance here at Megiddo, and it doesn't work. He dies in that battle, and Egypt keeps going. Pharaoh Necho from the Egyptian pharaoh keeps going up towards Carmesh to fight the Babylonians. In the meantime, the people make his son Jehoaz king. Now, Jehoaz, of course, is different than Jehoiakim. We see Jehoiakim up there. Jehoaz isn't even mentioned. Now, why would that be? That's because he's only king for 3 months. So when Egypt goes up, they kill Josiah. While Egypt is up here, the people of the land make Jehoaz king. Jehoaz is king for 3 months. And then on the way back through, Pharaoh Necho removes him as king, imposes a tribute on the land, and then takes his brother with him back to Egypt. So let's review. In the year 609, Pharaoh Necho kills Josiah, deposes Jehoaz, and sets up Jehoiakim as king, all in 609. It has been a hard year. Can you agree with me on that? For them, it's been a tumultuous, hard, stressful year. They've had Egypt go by once and rape and pillage and destroy, and then they'd had them go back by and rape and pillage and destroy, and both times it cost them a king. And then they leave a puppet on the throne. the name of Jehoiakim. It's been a bad year. And it's during this year, this stressful, hard year, that God decides to speak through Jeremiah and call the people to make these hard changes. In the midst of the mess, in the midst of the stress. So here we are. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, this word came from the Lord. Thus says the Lord, this is to Jeremiah, stand in the court of the Lord's house. Now, where would that be? Right, it's in the temple. It tells him, go to the temple. Now, you would think the temple would be a safe spot to preach. Wouldn't you think that? Wouldn't you think going to the temple would be the best place to say what the Lord says? Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the house of the Lord. All the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not hold back a word. Now, you notice the emphasis. Jeremiah, you're going to want to tell the truth all the way to 7. But I'm calling you to tell the truth all the way to 10. You're going to want to hold back, Jeremiah, but I'm telling you not to hold back. I'm telling you to tell them the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And it may be that they will listen. You remember Jeremiah has been prophesying that Babylon, remember the Babylon is the one over here, they're going to sweep up through and they're going to come down and they're going to crush Jerusalem because Jerusalem has been disobeying God and refuses to obey and refuses to obey and refuses to obey and refuses to obey. But God doesn't want that to happen. He wants them to repent. And so that's what he's saying. It may be that they will listen. And everyone will turn from his evil way, that I may relent of the disaster that I intend to do to them because of their evil deeds. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me, to walk in my law that I have set before you, and to listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent you urgently, though you have not listened. What does God want them to do? He wants them to listen. He really wants them to listen and then ignore him. No, listen and then obey. Then I will make this house like Shiloh. Like if you refuse to listen to me, I'll make this house like Shiloh. So what's going on is what they're saying is God won't bring disaster here because we have the temple. We're God's people. We have the temple. He's not going to destroy his temple. Well, the house of God was at Shiloh during generations ago, during Eli's day. And the Philistines came in and leveled the place. And what Jeremiah is saying is God leveled his house before. He'll do it again. You're not safe just because you have a temple. And I will make this city a curse for all the nations of the earth, the priests and the prophets and all the people. You might underline all the people if you're following along in your Bible. You'll see that come up a couple times here. The priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord, and they were so glad that Jeremiah had the courage to get up and tell them the truth. Think that's how it goes? The people hear the words of the Lord from Jeremiah, and they're like, well, it's hard. He's calling us to these hard changes, but, I think he's... Well, watch what they do. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets, the very people that should have been defending him, and all the people laid hold of him, saying, you shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant? And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord like a riot, like they're going to rip him apart, arm from arm, leg from leg, limb from limb. Then the officials of Judah heard these things. They hear that there's a riot at the temple because someone was preaching. And they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entryway of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, so they're still battling for the hearts and minds of all the people, this man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city as you have heard with your own ears. All right, so what is their response when Jeremiah comes to them and says, you need to change right now? What is their response? Their response is to kill the messenger. Like, That is just not something I want to hear. I want to keep going this way, and I don't care what the consequences are. Do you know what that's like to try to tell the truth to somebody who doesn't want to hear it? Where like maybe they don't try to kill you, but it's like they try to do the character assassination thing, where you go and you tell them the truth, and then you know that they're just going to go out behind your back and spread all kinds of malicious rumors about you. Or you know that if you tell them the truth, it's not that it's going to be character assassination, but that you're just going to be dead to them, and they'll just ignore you forever. Or they're going to be like a pop bottle that you shake and 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 shake, and then you turn the cap off and it just goes boom. Right? When you tell someone something they don't want to hear, it's an unwelcome truth. So let me ask you, what do you do when someone tells you something you don't want to hear? And you're afraid it's God speaking through them. One option would be to kill the messenger. But there are some other options. Let's keep going and see what the other options are. And then Jeremiah spoke to the officials and all the people. Remember, all the people were on the side of killing Jeremiah just a minute ago. They had gathered around him. One guy was going to take an arm. Another guy was going to take the other arm. The other guy was going to take a leg. And they're going to just rip him apart because they're really, really, really mad because they didn't want to hear what he was saying. Then Jeremiah spoke to the officials and to all the people. So Jeremiah is here pleading his case. The officials come and they stop the riot and they put on a mock trial just real quick. Let's just see if we should kill this guy or not. And so he makes his case now, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words that you have heard." So Jeremiah is just going to re-preach his sermon. "Now therefore, mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent from the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you." He's like, look, you can kill me, but that won't change the message because the message came from God. Like, you can assassinate their character. You can be dead to them. You can ignore them. You can blow up at them, but that won't change whether or not they're right. And it won't change whether or not you're right. So Jeremiah says, if you kill me, that won't change the message, and it won't change what's about to happen. "Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to speak all these words to you in your ears." And the officials and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, so now watch how the people have changed sides. They were in favor of killing him. They're going to do it themselves as they gather around him. Now they say, "This man does not deserve the sentence of death, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God." And certain of the elders of the land arose and spoke to all the assembled people, saying, "Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and said to all the people of Judah, thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion," which is another name for Jerusalem, "shall be plowed as a field. Jerusalem shall be a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house of the wooded heights. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judea," did they put him to death? You know, did they kill someone for telling the truth? "Did he not fear the Lord and entreat the favor of the Lord? And did not the Lord relent of the disaster that he had pronounced against them? But we are about to bring great disaster upon ourselves." So what's happening here is, first, all the people, because of the priests and the prophets, want to kill Jeremiah. Like, this is ridiculous. We don't want to hear this message. Let's kill him. Now, the elders say, look, there's precedent for this. Back in Hezekiah's day, the Assyrians were coming down. It was a really, really scary time. And Micah came, and he preached to us, and we repented. And Hezekiah led in that repentance. And so you're supposed to contrast Hezekiah with what Jehoiakim will do in just a couple verses. And so let's not kill him. Now, see what they're doing? They're doing what I do sometimes. They're doing what you do sometimes. Someone comes to you, someone comes to me, Jeremiah came to them and said, you need to change. And their response is, well, you know, our nation is a mess. Our nation needs to change. Well, let's not talk about the nation for a minute. Let's talk about you for a minute. Right? What they're doing is Jeremiah has said, we need to change or disaster is coming. And they've said, well, let's not kill him because we think he's telling the truth. But they never decide to do what he says. They never decide to obey him. They just want to argue about whether or not they should kill him. So they decide he's right, but then they never do what he says. They never take his message seriously. So another response that we can have when someone calls us to something hard is, or something difficult, is to talk about something else, to just kind of change the subject. This is what I was talking about. Like, Jeremiah comes and says, you need to repent or disaster is coming. And they say, they want to talk about whether or not to kill him, not whether or not to repent. When people come to you or people come to me and they say, you need to repent. And they say, well, you know, she needs to repent too. Or he needs to repent too. Or let's talk about my childhood. Or, you know, like we can think of a lot of other stuff to talk about than whether or not we should change. Of these options, which are you more likely to fall into? Are you more likely to kill the messenger? Like when someone comes to you and says something you don't want to hear and you're afraid they might be right, just to kind of blow up, or character assassination, or just be dead to them? Or are you more likely to just to change the topic of the conversation and just want to talk about something else? You know, another way we do this now is someone says, you need to change, and we're like, I should probably change. What's on Facebook? Let me check out Instagram quick. Oh, Snapchat. Somebody just... Oh, my news feed. And we just manage to distract ourselves long enough until we forget about it so we don't have to make the changes that we know we should be making. What do you do when you're called, God calls you to make a hard change? Another option, I think the last option is maybe the one that we'd fall into the most. There's another man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah, the son of Shemaiah, from Kiriath-Jearim. He prophesied against this city and against this land in words like those of Jeremiah. So he's prophesying the same message as Jeremiah. Do you think people like his message? No, they hate his message, just like they hated Jeremiah's message. And when the king Jehoiakim, with all his warriors and all the officials, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. All those warriors and stuff against one lone prophet. But when Uriah heard of it, he was afraid and fled and escaped to Egypt. And when King Jehoiakim sent to Egypt certain men, Elnathan, the son of Akbar, and others with him, they took Uriah from Egypt and brought him to King Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim said, why did you run away? Dude, I want to make these changes. I know you're speaking for God. And even though these changes are hard, let me think about them and maybe we'll implement some of them. You think that's what King Jehoiakim? No. Jehoiakim struck him down with a sword and dumped his dead body into the burial place of the common people. But the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah. So you see Uriah get killed for telling the truth. And we're reminded of Jeremiah chapter 1, where God says, I will be with you. I will rescue you from them. You will tell them the truth, and they will hate it, but I will keep on rescuing you. I will keep on delivering you. And you see God's faithfulness to do that over and over and over again throughout this book, as God protects and rescues Jeremiah. And so Uriah glorifies God with his death, with his martyrdom. Jeremiah here glorifies God by hiding because people want to kill him. But the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah so that he was not given over to, what are those next two words? the people to be put to death. So remember, the people start out saying, let's kill him and I'll rip him apart myself. And then the people are like, no, we should let him live because he's probably telling us the truth after the elders and the officials speak. And now the people want to kill him again. You know, another option, a third option that we have when someone tells us we need to change is we can waffle back and forth. We can be Captain Christian when we're around Christians, and we can be Captain Not Christian when we're around not Christians. And we can waffle back and forth like the people. We can just kind of go wherever the winds of cultural pressure take us. So three bad options here when God is calling you to change. The first one is to kill the messenger. Kind of just write them off in your mind or blow up and get angry or commit character assassination, whatever it is. Or you can just distract yourself or think about something else or change the subject. Or you can waffle back and forth. Yeah, I know you're right. I know you're right. I'll change. Or you can be like this Ahikam that defends and hides Jeremiah. And this would be a dangerous thing to do. Like, Jeremiah is a dangerous guy to be friends with. A lot of powerful people hate Jeremiah and want to kill him. But there's also Jeremiah who obeys God. And God says, I need you to tell him the truth all the way to 10. And Jeremiah's like, well, I don't like the truth, number one. Like, it's a really hard message to deliver. And I know they're going to hate it, number two. But I guess if you're telling me, I have to. After all, you formed me for this. That's what we covered last week. So what about you? Will you listen? Have you been thinking as we've been talking through this about changes that God might be calling you to make? Will you listen? And these might be changes that you've known you should make for a long time. God has been whispering to you about for a long time. Will you obey? It's not a decision the deacons can make for you. It's not a decision your parents can make for you. It's not a decision that your friends can make for you or that I can make for you. It's a decision that you need to make for you. Will you listen? Will you obey? But one of your pushbacks might be, you know, one of the things that drives me crazy about life, even about this story, is here is God sitting way up high, safe, on a throne, and his prophet, whether it's Jeremiah, who lives a persecuted life, or Uriah, who gets killed by a mad king, here's God up here safe, and here's us down here getting stepped on. Why would I trust, why would I listen to a God like that? So God himself comes in the person of Jesus. And he looks and acts a lot like a prophet. And as this prophet, he comes into the temple, like Jeremiah went into the temple. And he kicks the hornet's nest, like Jeremiah kicked the hornet's nest, flipping over tables, scattering the cattle that they were selling, making a whole bunch of really powerful people really, really angry, saying, you guys have been doing this wrong for generations. Your great-great-grandparents did this wrong. Your grandparents did this wrong. You're doing it wrong, and you need to change, and you need to do it right now. And people really, really, really hate that message. Jeremiah has that, preaches that message at the temple like Jeremiah did. Jesus goes out and a bunch of people ask him, by what authority are you doing these things? And Jesus tells him, then he tells him this parable. He says, it's kind of like there's this rich, rich landowner who plants this vineyard and leases it out to some tenants. And what everyone knows by the end of the story is that the tenants are the religious elite. And he says he sent a servant to them and to collect some of the fruit, and the fruit would be like listening and obeying. Like God has always wanted his people to listen and obey. And when the servant comes, like one of the prophets came and says, we need to listen and obey. And so they take this servant who had come and asked for some of the fruit of the vineyard. They took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed, kind of like Jeremiah. Spends all of his life telling people a message they don't want to hear. And the great reward he gets is getting beat and sent away empty-handed again and again and again and again. And again, he sent to them another servant, you know, maybe like Ezekiel, like God kept sending prophets to people, pleading with them to repent. And he sent them another servant, and they struck him on the head and treated him shamefully. And again, he sent another, kind of like Uriah, the prophet that we read about here in Jeremiah 26, that got killed. And he sent to them another, and him they killed. And so with many others. Like, this has been a long line of prophets that have come to people and given them a message they don't want to hear. You're a sinner. You need to repent. As much as it grieves us, hell is a real option. And heaven is a real option. We don't want you to go to hell, but you must repent and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's not a popular message. And so with many others, some they beat and some they killed. And so the landlord just gives up, right? Or maybe the landlord will just call in the militia and just devastate the place. What does he do? He still had one other. A beloved son. And this is a story Jesus is telling about himself. Jesus is telling, I am the beloved son that came and told you a message you didn't want to hear, and you're going to kill me just like you killed all the prophets that came before me. And the difference is that Jesus is the Son of God, and that his death is for the sins of the people that are killing him. He died for you. He died for your sins. And he died for me. He died for my sins. And my question for you is, will you listen to him? He loves you with coming himself, knowing that he will die. Love. Will you listen to him? He loves you with laying down his life, dying on the cross. Love. Will you obey him? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, I pray that you would pull us close to yourself. Lord, I pray that you would help us listen and help us obey. Lord, that you would draw each of us closer to yourself this day. In Jesus' name, amen.